Hey, comedy fam, if you like the comedy advice on this podcast, you are going to love our newsletter. I send out weekly newsletters with comedy tips, updates on our live streams, and a lot more. So join it, linked in the show notes. What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? Welcome back. This is Hot Breath Live. This is comedian Joel Byers and comedian Yoshi So. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Every once in a while, I'm just like, let me just introduce
you. Say your name. I should let you say your name.
Yeah. It's okay.
But we do this live stream every Tuesday on our YouTube channel. Boom. So if you want to get updated on when we are going live, go join our email list linked in the description of this episode, where I also send out a weekly email based on some hot comedy topics. I just released one about how to find punchlines, another one about if comedy festivals are worth it or not. So do join that email list. You'll get a lot of good comedy goodies in there.
Nice.
We want to see you join our live stream. We do it every Tuesday. We got a hot group in here already posting some questions we definitely want to get to.
Yeah, because we got questions and we're getting roasted.
We are getting roasted.
The perfect combination.
Well, but the people that weren't in the pre-show show, you know, the people that listen to the podcast and not join the live stream, they missed the pre-show show.
You missed it.
The pre-show show. So you got to join the live stream to be a part of the pre-show show. Mm. But further ado, our mission is to cultivate self-made comics. And as that's what we are, as full-time comedians, doing our thing, creating our own things. So we got a few topics to jump into today. The first one is Yoshi and I did a show together, two shows this past Thursday in Columbus, Georgia, a 7:30 show and a 9:30 show at the Loft in Columbus, Georgia.
Yep.
And, you know, me being out past 9:30, you know, it was... It was an uphill battle. But it was, they were great shows. And great. I always like to give context for our shows because I think a lot of times people will see when we're booked at certain places. I think a lot of comics maybe wonder, oh, how did you book that? Or where did this, you know, I think people like to know the how and the why behind the moves we make sometimes. So sure. I do like to just share context. This was from via the Comedy Zone, which is a comedy club chain, for lack of a better word. But they're based in Charlotte, but they have clubs all over the country. And I got in with them pre-pandemic. A friend referred me. And what you will find in this comedy game, most of your opportunities, as we have said on here before, are going to come from other comedians. That's why our mantra is be nice, be funny. You want to be nice and be funny and people will want to work with you. So that's where this gig came from. Just a relationship I built years ago that referred me to the Comedy Zone. You start working with people, you do a good job, then you start, featuring. And then, all right, let's book them on some headlining things. And now I'll headline for the Comedy Zone. I was booked in Florida during the weekend. And I knew Comedy Zone did a Thursday night gig that was on the way to Florida. So I reached out to them. And that's a good tip for comics wanting to get on the road is if you can piece together like a run of shows, you know, if there's a city on the way, maybe you could tap into, even if it's, if you're early on, even if it's an open mic and you can just go and network with other comics. If you can string together a run of shows, it can really make a road trip worthwhile. And you can just get more bang for your buck when you're out on the road. But it was a great venue. They've been doing this show forever. Yoshi and I, it was pretty much, there was Little Bit, who is like the house host there, who she is absolutely hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah. 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 And, she's just a ball of energy. Time. Yeah. Yeah. She introduced us. I mean, she didn't even do that much time. Like not really like a host set. It was probably like 5 minutes, but she definitely set the mood. I always enjoy like just venues. I actually do like venues that have like just a set person that hosts because you always know, and then the crowd knows and everybody knows that person. So yeah, she definitely set the mood. And then I featured and your boy Joel headline. It was great. It was a fun show, man. I think, I don't know if you had the same assessment the first show, the earlier show, definitely had a crowd of people that I would say were a bit more relatable in terms of my material. For sure. Right? Yeah. And I think it was just, I mean, sometimes you just got to know yourself, right? Sometimes you just got to know.
Of course.
And so, like my material, I talk about, here's the thing. Here's the top things. Like if you had to put my set into like a word cloud, here's the topics you're going to get. Parenting, Children, immigrant background, HOA, homeowner, and maybe like observations, but all surrounded mostly around those top like four or five things. Mm-hmm. So in the first show, there were a lot of couples, a lot of parents, a lot of married people, a lot of people who had kids. And just like, so my material just like, I mean, it just felt like it hit them in a different kind of sense. They were like, ooh, I really like that. Yeah. Boom, pow, 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 pow. And then the second show came through and there was about a group of people who just got out of college,
Literally like 22-year-olds. Yeah.
Fresh out of college, right? Somebody was celebrating their 23rd birthday.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I started with my material. I was like, oh, y'all don't get none of these.
Yeah. HOA, what?
HOA. Yeah, so actually, I actually pivoted my material to be more observational for the second show. I was like, and I did that like in the middle of the set. I was like, all right, let me just talk about some different stuff that maybe this crowd. And I mean, I don't say that to say, you know, it was like everybody was college age, but definitely the majority of the people that were in there were definitely much younger. It was a 9:30 show, you know.
On a Thursday.
On a Thursday. They're not going out that late.
Yeah, so it's a different vibe.
Yeah, it's a different vibe. And so I pivoted my material, made it a bit more like observational, still about me, but observational stuff. And yeah, and so that's how I adjusted for the show. But I remember going back to the room afterwards and I was like, whew, that was work.
Yeah, when you got back in the green room, you're like, that was work. Yeah.
That was work, yeah.
Comedy is so... I don't want to say unfair. It probably is. Comedy is so fair like that. There's going to be a show where you are super Saiyan and you're like, of course, every breath is working. And then there's going to be a show right around the corner that it's quicksand. Oh, yeah, for sure. This is comedy.
Yeah, yeah. And don't get it twisted. It wasn't a bomb.
No.
Just like... You just know when you're like in a rhythm, when you're just hitting and things are just like in a natural state. You're almost like in flow state where you're like, boom, this is hitting, this is hitting, this is hitting, this is hitting. And then I'd probably say like, I think there's some shows, I think you can relate to this, where every joke you say, you get a laugh and then it just silence. So it's not a continuous laughter. So then you literally have to like reset yourself and then reset like your mood. Whereas like the first show, I'll say this, the laughs were just kind of continuous even throughout.
It wasn't like the role in the business.
The role.
When you get role.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was the second show was just deadlifts. It was lift. Yeah. All right. Reset. Mm-hmm. Lift. Yeah, yeah. All right. Reset. Yeah. Smaller crowd, late show. So a lot of different variables going on that prevent that roll from happening.
Yes.
But they weren't a bad crowd. I think that's something young comics,
great crowd,
especially need to recognize is not like if they're listening, it's still a good sign. Like they're still interested. They still care. Every audience has a different DNA, has a different temperament, has a different laugh level. Like, so once you do it long enough, I think something I did early on that helped, like you said, assess the room. I think something that will help younger comics is when you go to an open mic, assess, okay, What day is it? Is this a Sunday at 7? Is this a Saturday at 8? Is this a Tuesday at 11:30 p.m. at a bar where people aren't expecting comedy? You know, is this an open mic? Is this a showcase? What are some other jokes they're laughing at? What is the makeup of the crowd? Is it a bunch of couples? Is it single people? Is it like bro night out? Or is there like a bachelorette party? Like, that's a good pre-show ritual, is to assess the room, and that'll help you to give context for the response you get or the set that you actually do that night. It could help. So it's good to analyze the room ahead of time with all those different variables to help set yourself up for the best success possible.
Yeah. And Mookie asked how much time we did. It was 30 and 45. I did 30. Joel did 45 or 50. I forget what you did, but it was like 30 and then headliner set, which is 45 and above.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the standard, especially with like a comedy zone gig. And those are so great because a lot of times a feature, they don't always have a host. So that's such good reps for the feature as well, that you have to go up, establish, grab their attention, and then sustain a set for 30 minutes, which is you're getting into the deep end. When you're getting that long, you're starting to venture into the deep end. You know, there's there's
30 minutes ain't no joke. Yeah, there's levels. Like 30 minutes, you feel, I mean, I know for sure, I feel all 30 minutes. Right?
Like, and you did your time. You didn't go short. You did all of your time.
Yeah.
And I was
I did all my time. Yeah. And sometimes, and I think earlier, right? Like the last time me and Joel did it, not the last time, but like, probably years ago, this was actually a couple years ago, a Comedy Zone gig out in Florida. I did less time. I think I did 7 minutes less. And I did 7 minutes less. And I know it was because I just hit this super high. I was like, I'm not going to get any higher than this. And I bailed, right? Now, not the best thing to do. The only person who really called me out on it was Joel. So it wasn't like the venue.
No one else noticed.
It wasn't like the venue was bothered by it or anything. But definitely something I remember. I was like, oh yeah, like I need to do the time for sure, right? And so I think that's something I'm much more aware of now and gotten better about, of making sure that do the whole time. And plus, just from a lighting perspective, I think I don't remember where the light was coming from. And I don't think we had a light structure for that show in Florida. I think it was just like, oh yeah, we're just.
Probably not. It was in the back of like a honky tonk bar.
Yeah.
Great show though. It was packed.
Packed.
But it's packed. It's Roadhouse.
That was a fun show though, man. That was super.
Yeah.
Fun.
But that's what I was referencing with like the deep end, is people think, but even the difference between doing 25 and 30, that 5 minutes.
Oh,
it can fall apart quick. Like there's a lot to be said about you just sustaining a time. So just even comics, I just love, they say they have 20 minutes until your jokes aren't working or until it's a late show Thursday where a joke that normally took 2 minutes because everything was rolling, now it lasts a minute maybe.
Yep.
And it all condenses, you know, I mean, it... You got it.
I mean, I think one thing that I actually appreciate about, I think we both did this, is we adjusted from our first show to our second show. So we had some material that was still the same, but I think we actually ended on different closers. Like we did different material on both shows. And I think I appreciate that because I was like, this, you know, based on the crowd, they just were not going to be like into the HOA stuff. I was like, and I have like 15 minutes on HOA stuff. Like
that's my opener, middle, and closer. These guys, like,
oh, you guys aren't going to get none of this HOA stuff. So I just skipped all of it. I skipped the entire HOA bits. I was like, they're not. This is they. I literally said, you guys can't even afford a home. Like I said that.
Yeah.
You guys can't even afford homes. So I just went into other material. Knowing that, there's this HOA stuff isn't going to hit with this college crowd. I think I appreciate that because that's how you know you're listening to your audience too. Like, I think sometimes when you've been, at least for me, and I know you do this, and you've been doing this for a while, you know the stuff is not going to hit with some audiences. You just know. You're like looking at this, you're like, ooh, none of this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how you learn, kids.
Yeah.
And speaking of learning, I do want to talk about my experience doing shows in Panama City Beach. But we can go to a question first, because this is a good one. From World Yours, where do you get your comedy ideas from?
I think comedy ideas come from, for me, I started taking notice of any idea. I have a notebook. I have a notes app on my phone, and I do recordings on my voice recorder. Those are where all the comedy ideas come from. If I think anything is like remotely funny, try to record it, put it down on paper somewhere, write it down. And that's typically where a lot of my ideas, or if I see something like out in the wild, out in the open, I'm like, oh, that was hilarious. That was funny. Let me see if there's something here. So a lot of it comes from just taking notice on what you find to be funny. And I think that's, once you tap into what you find to be funny, you'll start to notice just things out in the open that are funny to you. Write it down, work on the bit, and then see if there's something that you can put on stage from it. But yeah, that's where a lot of my ideas come from, is just having a notepad, keeping notes close to me. I've found inspiration in bathrooms, garages, all kind of random places. And then if I didn't have my notebook, I'd be pissed, because that'd be the only thing on my mind until I could write it down. And then sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I'll remember it. Never remember it. You never remember that idea that you had in the car 2 days ago while you were driving to Chick-fil-A. It's gone. It just won't happen.
Yeah, and I just realized this is a good topic for an email. So this will probably be on the email for this week. This is a great topic for how to generate ideas.
Yeah.
And a good thing, I think a lot of times comics try to force ideas, or I know sometimes people are like, oh, I need to go ride this roller coaster because I may get a bit out of it or whatnot. I don't think it's as as dramatic as, oh, everywhere I go, I have to find a bit. I think it's part of the job of being a comedian is just being open to receiving a bit if it presents itself. I don't try to go out and force a bit into existence, but if a moment happens and I'm observing it and I think, oh, this may be something here. Part of the job of being a comedian is honoring that idea and writing it down, whether that is on a piece of paper, a notebook you carry around, or in your phone. I know people use notes apps or Evernote, or I personally use Google Forms for pretty much everything I do, Google Forms and Google Sheets. But it's being open to ideas, and not even everything that is funny. A lot of jokes don't start out as a funny idea. It could just be something that is interesting to you, or something that confuses you, something that evokes some sort of reaction from you. Because a lot of my favorite jokes don't start out as funny. They just start out as interesting. And it's that curiosity that will keep you motivated to find the funny angle on it. Because you will notice, the more jokes you write, the more work you realize it is to find that funny angle or to find those extra tags. It's a lot of work to write jokes. So if you're writing about something you're interested in, you're going to be more likely to put in that work it requires to develop it into a bit, both writing off stage and on stage when you're performing at an open mic at midnight on a Monday and you have to be at work at 8 a.m. the next day. And you can perform the idea with that same interest and intrigue in front of comics waiting their turn as you would into like a sold out audience. That's part of the repetition of developing an idea, is being able to perform to that level regardless of the audience. Now that takes time on stage and repetition, but entering every set with that mindset, you will start to bridge that gap between where you are and where you want to be.
Yeah.
It all starts with that intention.
And if you are also like a one-liner comedian, or you're like a you do monologue jokes, or you just do like short, like just jokes, read a newspaper. Not, you know, these kids don't read newspapers. Like, go on the internet, look at the news, see what's happening, and write the jokes based on like news headlines. That's a great way to just generate ideas, and read all the different sections. It doesn't matter whether it's financial, technology, read all of it and just start to generate ideas about funny stuff from there. Like, generating ideas doesn't have to be something that turns into a bit. It just has to be something that helps you put something down on paper. So I think it's just a good way to like find ideas that are already out in the ecosystem, but what is your take on it? And what could you say that's different than most people?
Yeah. So to sum that up, just in your day-to-day life, generating ideas from, it could be your personal life, could be your family, your job, your marriage, your unique point of view on something topical, or as you're going through your day-to-day life, it's things you see that intrigue you, that confuse you, that evoke some sort of reaction that you can then start to write about. And a great just baseline technique, once you have an idea, is to just free write about it and see where your mind takes you, where you're just basically journaling about this idea you have. And you'll start to find funny connections that way without thinking too much into structure. It'll just get the ideas flowing, and then you can start to structure things from there. But that's a good baseline to get the ideas flowing.
Boom. Boom.
Great question.
Bow. Great question.
Great question there, though. I think that'll be good for the email. And Dubs General said he does from everyday life and is an observational comic. So yeah, just things you observe is just in your day-to-day life is a great source. And I think a topic that comes up a lot is, we may have referenced this last week, but just like that, how you're telling your truth on stage and whatnot, and how that doesn't necessarily mean your comedy is a therapy session. If that's your approach to it, cool. But telling your truth is more from the sake of what is authentic to you that you enjoy talking about. So it could just be silly one-liners where people don't learn anything about you for, on a personal level, but they learn a lot about you just from how your mind works and your unique quirks and your points of view on things.
Yeah.
So that's part of your truth as well. It doesn't all have to be just bearing your soul as like this dark artist. It doesn't have to be that dramatic. It could just be silly goosery.
Silly goosery.
Okay, cool. Wasn't there one more?
Yeah, Mookie had a question.
He about, had a couple questions. Oh, he asked when the feedback mic is happening at Freedom Brewing again. So we did that once.
Twice.
Oh, yeah, I did it once, and my wife got sick that night, right?
Yeah.
So, Yoshi's done it twice. So,
that's right. We're going to do it twice, and you had responsibilities, blah, 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 blah.
But I don't know when we'll do another one. I don't know.
I like it. It was a good show. I've been asked multiple times to bring that show back.
Oh.
Multiple times. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You should do it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm down. You know me.
Go for it.
You know me.
It's far. It's a far drive.
For
on
sure.
A Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Understandable. Yeah. It's far from me, and I live far from you.
But I mean, it was fun to do it, and it helped a lot of comics. And, JB runs great shows there, and that open mic they do every Wednesday, I know, helps a lot of comics get started.
Oh, yeah. It's great. So, yeah. We'll probably do it again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Great question there, though. And that was basically comics would perform, and then we would just give them feedback on their set. It was kind of like a positive Kill Tony in a sense.
Yes.
There was still some roasting, but it was more uplifting and supportive.
Yeah. Much more uplifting and supportive.
Yeah. Which isn't hard.
No,
Kill Tony is brutal. But that's, I mean, they just did an arena. So, I mean, they're doing great.
Yeah. It's It's
no
working.
Negative. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
working.
And it's putting comics on. Comics are blowing
Absolutely.
Up on there, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. I'd go on that bad boy hot minute. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But great question there, Mookie. I guess we can do one more question. I do want to talk about Panama City Beach because it was very eye-opening. And there was heckling involved, and we talked about hecklers before, and this was a new
level.
This was a new level.
Yeah, yeah. Zahan mentioned that he saw a comic steal a joke from a late night set. And should he have said something? How would you have handled that situation?
I mean, you could say something. It's not, if they stole the joke, they know they did. I mean, I think I can remember there was one time at a show, apparently a comic had stolen a joke. And when we were all sitting back in the comic area, another comic said something to him and he was just like, yeah, all right. I think it was like, oh, you stole that joke from so-and-so. And he was like, oh yeah, I'll be sure to tell him. Like, it was just something like the guy didn't care at all. It was seriously just like as nonchalant as that. Is that? So, I mean, you could say something, but.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There's no such thing as a joke police, although some people have made a career out of telling. Out of just calling people out for being joke thieves. Yeah, here's the thing. There's kind of an honor amongst comedians that you don't steal jokes, obviously. But also, it's like, you know, I think the question is, what do you get out of it? Is it, if you're just going to feel good that you told him, then that's not worth it. It's like, don't even worry about it. Like, yeah, it happened. They stole a joke. You move on. And people will tell you, I know Lunell once said, if somebody steals my joke, that just tells me that I need to write more. Like, and I need to write jokes that they can't steal. So just like such a good like thought process that, yeah, if they stole it, that means it was that good to be stolen.
Yeah, and it could come from a place of, if you want to bring it up to them, if you came from the place of like, I wonder if they know this joke was on late night, and not attacking them of like, you stole that. Even if you're thinking that, I think approaching it from the place of, oh, did you know so-and-so did that joke on late night? And you can kind of come from a more diplomatic way, because there is a very real parallel thought is a very real thing.
It happens.
It's
a lot.
It happens.
Yeah.
So
that
I'm not defending the person. They could very well have stolen the joke, but parallel thought is a very real thing that it happens. We're all drawing from the same world. So there's bound to be overlap at some point.
Yeah. If you watch comedy for like 3 weekends straight, all different comedians, you're going to see a lot of parallel thoughts. Like, it just happens a lot where our minds, especially if it's like current, like everybody has the same joke about Diddy. Everybody has the same joke about the Kendrick and Drake beef. Like, it's just happening, especially with current events. So it's going to happen.
Great question there though. This is a good one. And this was one I posted in the Facebook group about other workshop ideas, because people are really loving the clean comedy one. And this was one that came up about structuring sets that Daphne asked, basically, how do you structure sets? Should I have a theme? Should I have several jokes or more, all or more on the same subject? So the basic structure of a set is you open and close with your best jokes. The rule of thumb is you open with your second best joke and you close with your best joke. But you basically just want to open and close with jokes you know work.
Yes.
And you want that opening joke to get a laugh within 15 or 20 seconds. You know, in a five-minute set, you want to get that laugh as fast as possible, because that gets the audience on your side. And more importantly, it gives you that confidence boost that, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I can do this. I just got to laugh that fast in my set. They like me. I'm feeling good. Yeah. I am funny. Because the more jokes missed, the smaller you get on stage. I think LeVar Walker has that funny joke about after every joke, it's like you shrink a little bit more until you're just like on the floor. So the quicker you get a laugh, the more confident you're going to get, and the more the audience is going to just like you. Another good rule of thumb is opening with a more introductory joke. So think of your set as a first date, and your first joke is something just to get them to get to know you a little bit, who you are, what your point of view on the world is. Don't come out swinging with that banging 9/11 joke because you want to be edgy because you've seen banging, Shane though. Gillis do it. Yeah. But it's banging. Shane Gillis has been doing comedy for decades and you've been doing comedy 2 months, but yet you can do what he does. Exactly. That's how comedy works. but I want to be edgy and tell my truth. Yeah, but you know, learn how to write just jokes
for sure.
I digress. Just open up with something more introductory about your name, about your physical appearance, just about your profession, just something to get them to get to know you and where you're coming from that'll inform the rest of your jokes. And then from there, I think a lot of times young comics think that they can just tell a story for 5 minutes. When that story is better off being 30 seconds, but they want their whole set to be just one thing.
Mm.
I think it's best to just have a few different themes in there. I think, you know, just bounce around a little bit and just do the best stuff you have throughout the set, but open and close with your top jokes. But I don't know. Did I leave anything out there?
If you're doing longer sets and you are like, if you've got like a 20 to 25, maybe just 20 to 30 minutes, I would say I organize my sets by themes. Like I'll talk about this chunk of topics that's like related to, let's say, marriage. So I will put all the marriage materials together. I put all the kid material together. I put all the HOA material together. I don't bounce around between HOA to kids to marriage. It's just chunks. So I'll have 15 minutes on HOA, another 10 on marriage, another 5 on kids. And then I close with a bit about being tall. Right. And that's usually like how I organize, is just thematic. I try not to like make it go like a story from the top all the way to the end. But I would say just thematically, are there topics that you can talk about together? Because you're going to be there 20, 25, 30 minutes. You're on stage for a while. And the audience is expecting you to keep them laughing. And one thing about feature sets is you, as a feature, I just believe you got to just go. Like you just got to be a bit more speedier in your delivery. Because most people, especially if you're featuring, they came to see the headliner. So your goal is to be as funny as possible. You may not be able to establish like a long bit that you've been working on that's one 30-minute joke that has no laughs in it kind of thing. You just got to go in and just boom, 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 boom. So that's what I would recommend, is just organize by themes.
Yeah, for the longer. Yeah, yeah. And even your shorter ones can be on themes. It's just at a smaller interval. You know, maybe each minute is a different theme, or every 90 seconds, or just, I think mixing it up a little bit just to give them an overview of who you are will help you to create a connection with them, because Daphne said she hadn't even performed yet. So just an introduction to you. Who is Daphne and your point of view on things? I think that's a good one. And what interests you most? What do you want to talk about? We got a few more questions. I do want to talk about Panama City Beach though, because we talked about hecklers a few weeks ago, and the show we did actually at Freedom Brewing, and how there was this heckler and how he became the set, and how we didn't film it and all of that good stuff.
That would have been gold.
If it was filmed, it may not have gone down like that. You know what I mean? Maybe if it was filmed, I would have subconsciously tried to force a moment instead of just for being sure. in it. And
yeah.
It may have just taken on a whole other trajectory, you know?
Yeah.
But Panama City, first off, Jason Hedden runs amazing shows down there.
Great,
with
dude.
Panama City Comedy. I'll actually be back down there on June 28th doing another show with him. But
nice.
He, three sold out shows on Friday and then two on Saturday. Awesome shows. Got to meet some hot breathers while down there as well.
Let's go.
Michael Statham was one. There was also Olivia Cersei.
Yeah.
Was another one. Stavi Garcia. Natalie Lovejoy. I mean, there was pretty much every show. There was at least a few hot breathers on the show or came to watch the show as well.
Nice, dude.
And I'm proud to say all the ones on the show were funny as well. So I am very excited to say that. But it was very cool to connect with just all these different comedians from different areas. I had never performed. I'd performed once in Panama City Beach years ago. But the fun thing I want to get into just about hecklers. Well, one, people were hammered, especially Saturday night.
Favorite kind of people.
Saturday night. And it was interesting. You know, there was a 7 o'clock show and a 9 o'clock show or 9:30 show.
Yeah.
And you know me, 7 o'clock, that's my jam. 7 o'clock. I'm getting in there. I'm like, oh yeah, this is the crowd that's like, hey, let's get out, but let's get back. You know, I don't want to be out and about. I want to be in and sleeping. You know, that's what I want to be doing. But when I walked out there and opened with that, like, oh yeah, this is it. This is my crowd. They were hammered and they weren't like, let's get out and get back. They're like, let's get out and stay out. So these people were lit. And there was an interesting thing that happened where I had two hecklers,
both
very drunk.
Mm.
One, it was like a guy on the front row who had been, he was like an older guy who had been disruptive throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when I got up there, there was a lady that decided that she could help the show by out-drunking the other guy.
Oh. And
what was really interesting about this was, if I made fun of him, the audience loved it. But if I made fun of her, they were just not having it. So I was in this weird predicament of,
yep,
I can't control her because people are on her side for some reason.
Yep.
And then I'm trying to juggle these two hecklers where one I can't control. And then the other one, people are like, well, be nice to her. And I was just like, well, how do you want it? It was very strange. And it was like they didn't ruin the show. It was just a thing of you want to go up there and just do your jokes and you're having to kind of go back and forth and kind of just babysit in a sense and be nice about it. So it like when you and I did the show together at Freedom and the guy, it was like this whole symphony of he was in the show and he became the show and it was this whole moment we had together. This was more like, okay, you're yelling after every joke and it's kind of ruining the show. And I like sat down for a minute and I was like, should we just have them take turns coming up here and doing it to realize how hard it is? Should we do that? I just sat down and had to come to Jesus moment. And then that shut the room down. So then I had to be like, oh no. So then I like got on, then I took a knee. And I was like, and I apologized, and I was like, I'm sorry. And I went to like a Joel Osteen thing to bring it back. You know, it was like, oh, the youth pastor got mad, you know, but it just got to a moment where I was like, all right, guys, I don't want to do this for another 15 minutes.
Oh,
and then people were like, oh, he means business. So then I had to play it out. And
sure.
I mean, it was fine, but it was just one of those things of like, sometimes you just got to be like, all right. You had your fun. Shut up.
Yeah, I think it's so funny because I think you're really good at like knowing when to be aggressive about hecklers versus when not to be aggressive. Some guy on the second show, on the show that we did on Thursday, he was saying, he was just talking. He wasn't paying attention to the show. And I remember you saying, "Hey, shh." And then he stopped. They eventually, but like that moment is exactly what that needed, because everybody was on your side, but no one was like outrageously like, "Why'd you tell him to shush?" or whatever. It was just like, yeah, it was literally disruptive. Like we could all hear you.
I recognize them as like, they're not even a part of the show. So I just ignore them. And then they kind of faded back out, like type deal. Yes. You know, it was just assessing the situation. Like he could have easily become part of the show and I could have gone back and forth with him, because he yelled out a few times, but it was just like, there's 12 of us. This isn't that kind of show. Relax type deal. But yeah, I just shushed him and then moved on. I think I was doing a squatty potty joke and I just kept going. Yeah. So
And it worked. So you had two. So did you have two hecklers in the same show?
Yeah, this was the 7 o'clock show as well. This was like supposed to be.
So you
calm
had the hecklers
show.
On the 7 o'clock show.
Two.
Wow.
They were drunk. These people were drunk, Yoshi. Like I was. I was a bit overwhelmed, and I was very grateful. In the second show, Ariel Isaac Norman headlined the second show. She's a comic from Austin who's doing a lot of cool things. And I was so glad she was she was headlining that show. I did like a 10-minute spot and then just like relaxed and just like ate my free pizza and was just like, I'm so glad I'm not having to close this out. Because this was a 9:30 show.
Were they just as ridiculous?
They were drunk, but they weren't as outspoken. But they were drunk and kind of like you had to keep their attention.
Mm.
Like they weren't leaning in and waiting. They were like, come on type deal. Like you had to just keep hitting them to keep them kind of tampered down.
Yeah.
So they weren't as disruptive, but you just had to stay on them.
For sure.
Gosh, so drunk, dude. So drunk.
I love that.
But so much fun.
Yeah.
Jason Hedden puts on great shows down there. So it's good to see local producers putting on great shows, selling them out too. I was very excited for them and excited to be a part of them.
I love that.
I just had to get that off my chest as we talk about hecklers. Yeah, this week was a good mixture. I forgot about the one on Thursday where it was just kind of.
It was quick. Tonight. Like you went in, like it was like, zip, and then they moved on kind of thing. So like, I don't feel like I attract a lot of heckling, but at the same time, like I'm also quick to just dismiss it. I'm very much like I gloss over it and then I let the crowd kind of like be the person who tells them to hush it up kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We did a whole episode on it a few weeks ago as well. How to handle hecklers. That could be a good email as well.
Absolutely.
Just breaking down the big takeaways from it. But we are coming up on the hour here.
Yeah.
So I think we are going to have to land this plane.
It's land.
For the people that had some last minute questions, I would recommend putting them in our Facebook group. And we can get a discussion going around them there. But we do have to land this plane, as I'm going to be on a doctor podcast later telling them how to incorporate humor into being a doctor. So that should be interesting.
Absolutely. Good stuff.
So much fun. But we appreciate all y'all for hanging out with us. And please, if you do one thing, join our email list. linked in the description of this episode, and I'll keep you updated on these live streams and more fun educational content in there as well. I guess I should play the theme song.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, we love you, Hop Breathiverse. We do these every single Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so please join us next Tuesday and get your comedy questions answered. But if you want to connect with us, my social media is at Joel Byers Comedy. How about you, Yoshi?
At Yoshi So, Yoshieso. We doing it, baby.
All right, comics. Keep grinding out there. We'll see y'all next Tuesday.
Bye.